You were both in Skull and Bones, the secret society.
It's so secret we can't talk about it.
What does that mean for America?
It's so secret we can't talk about it.
What does that mean for America?
I've got a vision for what I want to do for the country. See, I know exactly where I want to lead. It's so secret we can't talk about it.
What does that mean for America?
I've got a vision for what I want to do for the country. See, I know exactly where I want to lead. It's so secret we can't talk about it.
What does that mean for America?
I've got a vision for what I want to do for the country. See, I know exactly where I want to lead.
You were both in Skull and Bones, the secret society.
Good morning and welcome to the Monday, August 10th, 2009 edition of the Investigative Journal. I'm your host, Greg Szymanski. You're listening to LibertyRadioLive.com, and my guest today is Don Thorne. Don is a longtime member of the Alamo Ministry, and he's here today to talk about his stint in jail for protecting his children when the state wanted to know the whereabouts of his kids to put them in foster care. Don refused and then spent time in jail for this. He recently was released and is here today to tell his story. We'll be with Don in 1 minute. I just wanted to give you one program note regarding an article on my website that I'd like you to go to and read. The article is entitled The Vatican-Led Illuminati Matrix and the Hidden Truth Behind the Formation of Your Country, and it's an article well worth reading. I've divided it up into three parts, and it starts today, and it was written by a former judge. He doesn't reveal his full name, but the information contained within the writing is well worth reading and digesting anyway. It's worth reading because it should stimulate your pursuit to understand the truth behind the formation of America. This is important since Americans have long been deceived by the likes of men who followed in the footsteps of despicable characters like Ben Franklin, men who have been revered as heroes, but who have hidden their Illuminati and Vatican connections behind a false veil of freedom and Christianity. And if anybody doubts what this judge has researched, and if you doubt many of the things we talk about in this show, just ask yourself, why America, if it's so strong, if it's the bastion of freedom around the world, why has it crumbled into fascism so quickly, only after a little more than 200 years of so-called freedom? Go to my website, Arctic Beacon, and you can get that first article. But let me just preface it by saying this, and this will lead into the story I'm about to tell you today, that it's okay in this country if you're a Bible believer, and you read the Bible according to the Jesuit editing of the Bible. It's okay if you read it according to what the Jesuits want you to believe about the Antichrist. It's okay if you read it if you hug up next to the Vatican and tell them in your pulpits how great everything is and how everybody loves everybody. They'll let you go on forever and do that. But once you begin to read the Bible as it was written by God, once you begin to criticize the beast in the Vatican, you'll find out exactly what they do to you. That's why Tony Alamo sits in jail today. That's why Don Thorne was in jail for months protecting his children. He's here to talk about it. But before we get to him, let me mention this. And in the political side, for all those Bible believers out there who don't even want to bother with it, it's okay if you are an American and you start playing the game of left and right, if you start saying the people who formed the Constitution were our founding fathers with benevolent reasons, they were here to represent you, that's okay. They'll let you go on forever. But when you start understanding the truth about why your country was formed, when you start understanding the truth about this country not being a country, but basically a corporation formed for not your benefits, but the benefits of the elite founding fathers, the elite people who have taken over for them, then, you know, life becomes difficult. life becomes impossible. And let me tell you this. For most of my life, I have a college degree. I went to law school. But for most of my life, I was a functional illiterate. And I say this, that most Americans that don't know the two things that I just mentioned are basically functional illiterates. Those who don't even bother to look into it, those who are led by the nose by your government, by your pastors, are nothing more than functional illiterates like I was for many years, no matter how many degrees you may have. Because you've been brainwashed by your priests, by your pastors, by your government, to think that you were free in a country that was built for you. It wasn't. You're nothing more than a slave. And if you take the time to look at this article, if you take the time to understand why people on the pulpits today do not pin the Vatican as the Antichrist, then you'll understand what's happening in your country and why you are about to experience a genocide the likes of which you're never going to recover from. And they're going to do it with the swine flu. Now, if you take the time to do this, you'll soon discover that the true purpose of the Constitution was to create a business plan and to establish a military government for the protection of the founding fathers, the king's commerce, protection of the agents, and the future control of his subjects, slaves. That's you. And even the preamble of the U.S. Constitution is a clue to the lie, and it states this: to ourselves and to our posterity. And if you never saw the title of the Constitution, you were never told what this document was about, what do you think would be your first impression upon hearing or reading "to ourselves and to our posterity"? And that was written by the Founding Fathers. The Constitution is not for "we are the people" in America. It is a matrix of misinformation. And in the eyes of those in control, America is nothing more than a large plantation. And we are the people and are the slaves. And you go read that article. Now, let's get back to how that falls into Don Thorne. Don Thorne's been with the Alamo Ministry for years. He practiced the Bible. He preached, along with Tony Alamo, that the Vatican was the Antichrist for over 40 years. That's why Tony Alamo sits in jail on false charges. And that's why Don Thorne spent 3 months in jail. Don, how are you today?
Hey, I'm doing fantastic. I call it the Miller County Jail Bible and Prayer Seminary.
Okay, well, Don, you know what? I gave that intro for one reason. I wanted to get everything off my chest today so that I could give you this hour to explain your story from your perspective of being a member of the Alamo Ministry. I want you to discuss two things today: the plight of the children that are still being taken away from their parents, and secondly, Tony Alamo's situation in jail right now. So go right ahead, start where you choose, and tell the American people really what happened to your ministry.
Gosh, you talk about victims of the system. You know, it's a coined phrase, but gosh, it's so hard to just pick up the ball and take off with it. What is really difficult is the fact that they got me and other officers. Children are in custody under a gag order. We would love to be able just to freely speak and tell our story, but due to the court order, it really ties our hands. We would love to have this transparent. We would love to be able to talk freely about it because I can say this, our children and my children have been raised in a very wholesome, extremely wholesome environment. They're been taught in the school with the Becca Book school system, and that's a very, very reputable teaching program. My son, which was in the seventh grade under that Becca Book system, it put him compared to the public schools in the ninth grade education-wise. And all of our kids have always had the best given to them. And loving families, supervised, very watchful eye, very sheltered life. I drive a truck over the road in the ministry, and I've taken my children and my wife with me in the summer vacations and during the school breaks at different times. And, you know, they've been out in the world, so to speak. They see what's out there. And they came from the best home I could possibly provide for them. My wife, she's been I call her the cream of the crop. And she's a excellent mother. She just excellent housekeeper. She was going before she came to the ministry. She's going for a PhD in psychology.
Don, how long have you been with the Alamo Ministry?
I've been in it for 36 years now. I came in when I was 18 years old. I'm originally from Portland, Oregon. And I had not heard anything about the ministry before I got to Hollywood, where I ran into some of the brothers from the church on the streets of Hollywood Boulevard. I remember seeing some of Tony's promotions, the 20 original hits. I remember seeing those on TV when I was a kid growing up, and some of his promotions, Bobby Jameson, and that was the only exposure I had to Tony Alamo. But at that time, I didn't know that was Tony's business deal. That was stuff he did before he was a Christian. And but when I got
well, you know what? I know you're under a gag order, okay, which means that you can't talk about some particulars. But let me help you and guide you a little bit. You can't talk about the generalities that are in the public eye already. And let's just let people know a little bit about the story we're talking about before we get into the particulars. One, you've been with Tony Alamo's ministry for 36 years. For 36 years, you have preached the truth about the Bible. You've not been afraid to talk about the Vatican being the Antichrist and our government being the second beast in Revelations. That is a fact. Tony has been doing it for 40 years. For many years, they've tried to bring your ministry down. You've been through it all. Tell us about how they have tried to frame Tony many, many times in the past before they did it this time. He now sits in jail on a life. He sits in jail on 10 counts of violation of the Mann Act. And tell us about what you've experienced there for 36 years. Does it make sense to you that he's in jail right now?
Well, no, it doesn't make sense because he's spooky clean, as has been brought out in the past through different testimonies from FBI agents. John Peter, I know you know him. I listen to your programs. And through John Peter's own testimony, he revealed the fact, the true facts from his own personal account of working for the agency and then coming into the ministry and seeing what it was really about and said, hey, these people are Christians. They're not the cult they're making them out to be. It's kind of funny because when I was in the jail, I was able to witness to many of the inmates in there, almost everybody in there that I encountered to, I would reach out with the gospel. A lot of them read Tony's gospel tracts. And then the news would come on TV, and they would see the story that they're saying about Tony and all these just terrible accusations. And they're watching this on TV and said, this doesn't line up with what I'm reading, what this man wrote. This isn't the same person. And because they read the literature and they really saw what Tony was saying and what he's all about, they didn't believe the newscast. They knew it couldn't be the same person. It just didn't line up. And that's why programs like your program and the gospel tracts getting out, it really is the defense that is needed, just getting the truth out there, uncensored news broadcast. And that's been a big part of what the ministry is about. That's our ammunition. That's our how we fight back, is with the truth, with the two-edged sword, armed to the teeth with the gospel. It's on our side of the story. And, yes, about the Vatican and where the Big Brother, and you know, it's like a big octopus. It's got the, you know, the KKK, the Illuminati, and all these secret societies. They're like the arms and the tentacles. But the head, yes, is like in the Bible says, in the city of seven hills, Rome, Italy. And we don't hide that. It's like the Bible says, it's better not to preach at all if you're not to tell the truth. And that's in the Bible. And they say, well, you're being political. Well, the Bible got political, so yes, we get political too, because you got to preach the whole Bible from Genesis all the way through to the book of Revelation. And we're in the end times according to scriptures. And so looking at the Bible, looking at where we are today, we read that in the Bible. So people, you can't hide your head in the sand. You can't pretend it's not there and think it's going to go away. The only way is to fight it. It's not with guns and bullets. It's with the gospel truth. Light outshines the darkness. And that's what
right.
Tony's taught us
yeah.
and ministry is all about. And, of course, salvation, being saved. It must be born again. And that's what we're about is, you know, Christianity, godliness, keeping the commandments. Fear God and keep his commandments. It's the whole duty of man. And that's the doctrine I heard when I first came into ministry, and it hasn't changed over 36 years that I've been there. I've known Tony. I've had dinner with Tony. I've been to many services with Tony's there. He's not one way around me and another way around you. Tony Alamo is always ministering the gospel. He's a preacher of righteousness. And it just repulses me and sickens me to see what they're saying about him. And it's just slander and slander. It's like they're trying to make him so busy fighting these accusations and the slander, keeping him occupied fighting the slander. You know, it's just like they're just trying to bury him. But the truth speaks for itself. And praise the Lord. There's people who are hearing the truth, reading his tracts, and they know better by what they're reading. And I'm really thankful for that. You read the tracts. Hey, people, read the tracts. Go to our website. Check it out for yourself. Just don't go by here and say, read the literature, and then you'll know. And it's wonderful. It's worth reading. It's believable, and it's truthful, and it's powerful, and it's Bible, and it's available 24 hours a day, every day of the year. You know?
Yeah, we're going to stay with the Tony side, Tony Alamo side of the story, and then after we finish, we'll switch over to what's happened to the children, because this time, this raid that occurred last September had a two-prong approach. One was to arrest Tony. Two was to put an end to the ministry by kidnapping your children, and that's basically what the state did. Now over 35 children still are in custody. And there really have no abuse. The allegations have not been proven. I can't understand why the kids are still there, but we'll get to that in a minute. But during your 36 years at the Alamo Ministry, have you ever seen any abuse? Has Tony? Have you ever seen or heard of any child abuse on the part of Tony Alamo?
Absolutely not. Just the very opposite. Kids first. Like the old saying goes, women and children first, and that is what do the kids need? That is a priority. Take care of the kids physically, emotionally, spiritually, school-wise, recreation, everything you can think of. Anything would concern a child, gosh, I mean, we love our children. Those are our kids. We love them. And like any normal parent, you want the best for your kids. And my children have had the best their whole life. And I'm talking about from the time they wake up, from a beautiful home, a beautiful meal, going to a good school where there's no pornography, there's no drugs at all, ever, no violence, no foul language. I'm talking about a wholesome upbringing, environment. What can I say? And I know.
Right. Yeah, I think you said
I know the people that are around there every day. I can trust and rest in my heart. My kids are okay. They're in good hands. When I get on the road and leave, and I get back, I don't have anything to worry about. I have communication. I talk to them on the phone. I talk to my wife, and you know, they're happy. They're very happy. It's like a storybook picture life almost. It's like they just have a wonderful life, and they grow up with their friends from babies, and then they grow up with them, and it's like they're almost, it's like the kids amongst themselves. It's like they feel like they're amongst their not only friends but like family because they've known them their whole life, and it's like hard to paint the picture. It's just so good, and so I keep using the word wholesome because it is a very clean Bible doctrine. Don't lie, children. Don't steal. Don't be deceitful. Stay away from promiscuity. We show them the Bible. They hear the Bible. They're raised on the Bible. they're Christian children. And I've had my children and taken them out to restaurants and different places and places of business I've had to go to. And I don't ask for comments, but the people said, man, your children are the best behaved kids I've ever seen in my life. What's your secret? You know? And then they heard about what happened with the church here, and they said, I can't believe this. This is not true. And I'm watching these people that have never even been to our church services, have been to our church party, but they've seen me and my children just throughout the years, time to time, and they were so irate. It's like, they said, this is terrible. This is a crime what's going on against these people. They can't believe it's going on. They say, we know you. We know your wife. We see your kids. This is not true. This is terrible. And it breaks their heart. It breaks my parents' heart. And my parents have been to the church, stayed with me in my home. They've been to our church services many times, announced and unannounced, both. And they just can't believe it. It breaks their heart. And my parents are getting up there in age. And it's heartbreaking, and it's a crime, and it's criminal, and it's, you know, we are the victims, and yeah, you're okay, and we're being muscled, yes, we are, but, you know, hey, keep on, you can't
you know,
stop.
You know, Don, we've listened to John Peeler, FBI agent John Peeler's testimony regarding how his bosses had got him to try and frame Tony Alamo in the 90s. We listened to that whole story. You can get it on my archives. We know what they tried to do. And how many times throughout the ministry have you seen these attacks? From my recollection, it comes about every 10 years, doesn't it?
Yeah, something like that. I haven't sat down and put a pencil to it, but this isn't my first studio, as they say. But it's like the Bible says, if it's of the Lord, you're not going to overthrow. Let's happily be found fighting against God. Talks about in the book of Acts. I don't even understand how they just can come in and do this. I mean, just paddy wagons, cop cars, snatch your kids away from you, and then get away with it. Why?
Well, you know what? In the second half hour, we're coming up on a break in a couple of minutes. We're going to discuss the side of the story regarding the Department of Children's Services in Arkansas, how the children were taken at the same time Tony was arrested. But I want to mention this, that in the wake of his conviction, I hope that before Tony was even involved in this problem, he came on my show many times and talked about his goals, the ministry's goals, and other things, and I gave him a forum. Now that he's in jail, it's hard for me to do that. But I hope that people in the ministry like you will come forward and speak on his behalf, and I will have them on the show. So please spread the word there at the ministry that I want to continue to bring your guys' message across, and other people are just going to have to step up and do it, and I hope you can pass that message along, okay?
Oh, yes, they will get it. No doubt about it.
And one last word, just a question. I'm sure you've been there 36 years. You've raised your kids, like you said, in a wholesome environment. If there's any kind of child abuse, wouldn't you be the first one to leave?
Of course. I wouldn't stand for it. And it's just, but like, I promise you that it's not going on here, or I wouldn't be here. And it's terrible because it's just the very opposite. It's a very outstanding place to bring your children up in. And then it's like you're watching this thing being attacked, and you're watching it, you're hoping it's not going to fall down and crumble and be destroyed right before your eyes. So we're just praying and trusting the Lord. Lord, intervene. Lord, protect us. Lord, save these people's souls. They're so blind, so ignorant. They only knew. It's like Peter. He
right.
came in, and then he saw, and then he found out, and he backed off. And we just wish the whole thing could get out there to everybody, not censored news media, not filtered news, but just the whole story, not some sensationalism to sell news, but to get the truth out. This is America. This is us.
Don, hold that thought. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
All right. Get up there.
Okay, we're back for the second half hour of the Investigative Journal. My guest today is Don Thorne. He's a longtime member of the Alamo Ministry. He's spent 36 or 38 years there. And Don was recently put in jail for not divulging the whereabouts of his children to the Department of Human and Family Services. He was found in contempt of court. We're going to get to turn the page and get to this side of the story, how in September the authorities came down on the ministry, taking children, putting them into custody, claiming there was abuse. I think over 35 kids still remain in foster care. This, to me and to many researchers that have looked at this, was just another way to disband this ministry. Don was there firsthand. Don, first of all, how long did you spend in jail?
Right around 200 days. I heard 202 days, but I haven't checked it out on the calendar myself, that right at 200 days.
Now, you were found in contempt of court. What was the main reason?
Because they didn't believe that I did not know the whereabouts of my wife and children.
Okay. And they wanted to put your children into custody. Is that the case?
Yes, right from where they are into DHS custody and then go into foster care. My oldest son is in foster care. Actually, now he's with his grandparents in California.
Okay.
And he just can't believe this has happened to him and us. He just wishes it would all go away and he could just come home. And he's a 14-year-old
boy. And the status of your wife and other kids?
The status of my wife and children, I haven't seen or talked to since December. And that's about, like I said, I'm under a gag order, so I wish I could just freely talk. I wish this was all transparent because I don't have anything to hide. That my wife, she did what she did as a loving mother, and that's all I'll say.
Okay. And I think, listeners, you can understand why Don can't tell you all the particulars. Well, let's go back and retrace this story from your perspective. Go back to what happened in September. And then follow this up with what happened to you and where the ministry stands today. Go ahead.
Oh, gosh. Well, it came in like a bad storm. We were just going on with our everyday life. People were doing what they were doing in the ministry, whether they were a cook, whether they were a teacher, whether they were working landscaping or construction, sending witnessing crews out, always, and getting the gospel out into the streets from California to New York and North Dakota down to the pinpoint of the bottom side of Texas. That's what the ministry is about, and that's what we were doing. And then all of a sudden, here they come, the helicopter. I just left town the day that they came in on the church property down there in Falk. I was down the road and doing my job, and my wife gave me a telephone call, and I just couldn't believe. It was just a living nightmare. And why are they here? What are they doing this for? I mean, I can't get into the particulars about this, but it was very alarming. And, gosh, it was just a living nightmare. It's like, why? What did we do? Which, of course, is nothing. And I wish I could just really talk. I just can't really talk.
I'll help you along.
I'm an American. You're an American. This is America. And this isn't supposed to be happening to us in our country. Where's the freedom of religion? Where's our freedom of choice? Where are our amendment rights? Are they really? They have been thrown out the window. I can guarantee you that. Because they are not being upheld. You know? I can't say that, and I know that to be true. And if they're doing it to me and my church today, if you don't stand up, people, this isn't an imaginary thing. This is something that's a planned thing, and it's going on, and people better wake up. It's later than you think. And this
Well, I think a lot of people out there think that if they just shut up and if they just don't say anything about anything regarding their government or the oppression of certain religious movements, regarding the Vatican. If they just keep quiet to all this, they'll be okay, but I don't believe
no,
that
won't.
To be the case.
No.
What
will
happen is they'll steamroll right over these people without knowing what, without these people knowing what hit them. And it doesn't pay to keep silent. And I'll tell you, that's the problem in this country. We have a group, the mainstream people in this country are basically under the spell of the propaganda that's been spread for hundreds of years. And it's no different than in most any society that's been taken over by a fascist regime. And the same will happen here. I think your ministry, this story, should awaken some people to the truth, and hopefully it will. I know you can't speak freely, so let me take you back to that day. So your ministry's functioning in a normal state. They come in with helicopters, guns pointed, just amazing. Take these children out of them, of their mother's arms, put them in the state custody. How many kids are in custody right now, Don?
I'm not sure exactly. The total is somewhere between 30 and 40. I think it's around 32, 36, but I'm not positive. But that's too many. That should be zero.
All right. Now take us back to the day when they put you in jail. Go ahead. What happened?
Well, I went to jail, and believe it or not, as a praying man, in my heart, I kind of suspected it was coming. When I went to jail, I knew, well, I know I'm in here for the gospel's sake, and there's people in here who need to hear the gospel. At first, people looked at me like, who is this guy? They didn't know how to deal with me. They heard so much baloney on the news. It was like it wasn't a regular everyday inmate that came in there for drunk driving or a drug charge or child molestation or what we would call an ordinary crime. I'm in here from a Christian church, from Pony's church, and I was very controversial. And when I told them who I didn't hide who I was and where I came from, and when I told them, they were all ears. And then it would open up to be a wonderful opportunity to preach the gospel that we preach at the ministry from the Bible, and people, inmates, were being saved. They were becoming born again. And some of these people were so hopeless and so down, they couldn't see anything different for the last day to go in and out of jail. Some of the guys have been there for 13 years already. Some guys are facing 18 years. I'm talking about 18 to 20-year-old guys. Their future was jail. And there was even, it got to a point where the police and the jail guards got to know me. Yeah, some of them became good friends of mine. I would chit-chat with them and talk with them, and they had police come up to me and say, Thorne, you don't belong here. I go, I know. And they got to know me, and they said, this guy's not bad. He's not at all what we heard about, you know. I really became friends with him. In fact, one of the officers would bring inmates to me so I could talk to them and counsel the inmates and help them through the gospel that we preach from our church. Bringing somebody in there for murder, which turned out was self-defense, but the guy was suicidal, and he was, like, very depressed, and he didn't know what to do with him. So he brought him to me, and sure enough, the man listened. He got saved. He got he didn't feel like committing suicide anymore. I mean, just that there alone, I mean... It made it worth it to me. It's very gratifying to me. I had purpose in that jail I was there. I had Bible reading groups where I had maybe up to 12 to 14 inmates sitting down in the jail cell with me reading Bible together. And some of the guards that come in, they were like, whoa, what's this? We don't see this happening every day. And they were very happy to see that, because the way to straighten out crime is to get people from becoming moral instead of immoral, to have the fear of God and knowing that crimes you're going to be punished, but you're going to end up in hell for stealing and for lying and doing these criminal things. And that's how you clean up the jails. That's how you clean up the streets, to see the simple gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You must be born again. The Bible says the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep his commandments, to provide for your house. If you don't take care of you, your own, your wife, your children. You're worse than an infidel, an unbeliever, an ungodly person going to hell. If you're not taking care of your wife and kids, you're on your way to hell. And you think we're going to abuse our kids? Uh-uh. We're going to, out of the fear of God and the love we have for them already, give them the world's best as much as we are able.
Yeah, so you spent over 200 days in jail using it as an opportunity. How did you finally get released? What took place?
Well, of course, glory goes to God. Lord hears and answers prayers. And exactly what happened, as far as the lawyers go, it was going to go in. I don't know how much I can talk about this, Greg, but
okay.
The Lord made a way where I was able to be signed out, sentence, time completed. And so I'm now out on the streets, and I'm really very thankful and readjusting myself. It's kind of like being, I had to adjust myself when I got in there, and I'm readjusting myself getting out of there again. It's not something you want to do. And,
all right.
But
well,
anyhow,
here's a... No, I wanted to mention, okay, why don't you tell us what's going on at the ministry today after the Alamo trial and still these children are in custody. Tell us what's happening and if there's any progress to get them released.
They're still in progress. The lawyers are doing everything they can to move forward, to reunify with their children. Gosh, I know what this. I'm not kind of lots of words here, but it's definitely in motion. We still got court cases coming up, and please, everybody, pray for the Lord to touch the hearts of these people that we're going to be gone before. Pray that their eyes be opened up. I'm sure they know there's no child abuse. I'm sure of that, and. Gosh, we just want to be back to normal, have our kids and wives home and go pick up where we left off at and go on with our lives and keep preaching and teaching the Lord Jesus Christ and bring our children up in the Christian schools and wholesome environment and have everything back they had before. Because if they don't...
Now, you're in the are you staying at the Falk Ministry or the one in California?
I'm in the Falk area.
Okay. Tell us how things have things changed a lot since the raid in September?
Oh, it's like a skeleton crew there. We have services every night. And, you know, as far as that goes, that's everything is the same. People are doing their job. This is short-staffed, but we're still going. You know, we're not supposed to just roll over and die and fold up and say, you know, poor me. We're going on, and we're doing everything we can. And we got the victory. We're happy. We're saved. And the Lord said that you would be persecuted. He promised that in the Bible, that those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Well, that shall is happening to us. And we're not bitter, and we're not hateful. We're praying for these people. But, you know, but on the other hand, too, they need to wake up, because whatever they sow, they're going to reap. You plant a little seed, it comes back a big plant. So, you know, they're hurting hearts. They're hurting lives. They're hurting people, innocent people. I would hate to be them when whatever their song comes back around and they start reaping. And I would hate to see, I don't want to see that. The Lord doesn't take pleasure in the death of the wicked. The Lord doesn't get kicked out of sending people to hell. And I don't have pleasure to see anything bad happen to people either. Even though they've done wrong, I don't wish bad upon them. I wish they'd turn around and start doing good and have a blessed life. But consequences, the Lord is the judge, and he is fair, and he is equal, and he is the God of the hopeless and of the poor and the needy. And that doesn't necessarily mean poor in monetary, but poor in spirit, and needy as needing a move and a deliverance. So pray, people. If you are saved, you can get into the throne of God, pray. Because that's where the deliverance is from. And I firmly believe that. I firmly believe that.
Now, go ahead.
And I just can tell people that are listening, you know, no matter what is going on in your life, whether it's good or bad, you need the Lord. You need the Lord in your life because we're all going to stand before Him to give an account of our lives, what we did with the man Christ Jesus, whether we shared the truth of the gospel, whether we are ashamed, whether we let our light shine, or were we ashamed, were we fearful of the beast, were we unbelieving, didn't believe God for His protection from on high. We can't be fearful and unbelieving. We can't be fearful of the beast. We can't be unbelieving of the protection of the Lord. We need to know that He's going to protect us, to speak out, to preach, to let wake up neighbors. People, look what's going on around you. And don't think, like you were saying, Greg, don't think that you're going to be excluded that because you're sticking your head in the sand that, and you're not speaking out. That, it's going to go away. It's not going to affect me. It's affecting everybody. And it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse unless people stand up. That's what this country is all about, as you well know. It was for the freedom of speech, for the freedom of press, for the freedom of religion. And we're fighters. You should be praising and thanking the Lord for Tony Alamo and his church, because we aren't ashamed and we are not, we're not going to roll over and die. We're not going to just disappear and fold up. We're going to preach the gospel just like when they put me in jail. I didn't stop. I just got into that much the more. And let your light shine. Let it shine. Because if you put it under a bushel basket, you're ashamed of the Word of God and you're afraid, you're going to, it's going to be terrible for you.
Are there any hearings coming up regarding the status of the children that are still in custody?
Yes, there's definitely things coming up in the court system, hearings and trials and it's not over, and we're still fighting, and we're going to go to court, yes.
Are you allowed to see your one son who's with your grandparents?
His
grandparents?
Yes, I was, but I'm in California, and now, I mean, I'm in Arkansas, and he's in California, so that complicates things. That's about an 1,800-mile trip for me just to go visit him, and... But I was visiting him every week. I did see my grandchildren when I got out of jail the other day, and they were so happy, and I was so happy to see them. And it really it was a joy for me to visit my grandchildren. They want to come home. They said, "Grandpa, I want to come home." You know,
mm-hmm.
They don't understand. The children, they don't understand what's going on. They just don't understand at all. Why can't I go home to mom and dad? Why? It was a beautiful life they had.
We have about, I'd say 7 minutes left, and I wanted to use this time for you to comment generally about, you've been with this ministry for 38 years. You've seen a lot of things going on in America, looking at it from your point of view. Where do you see America standing today? How have we digressed over the last 40 years? What's going on in your mind with the people of this country, our government, the religious leaders, supposed religious leaders? How do you sort through the confusion?
Well, I know that it's by the simplicity of the gospel that men are saved, and I know that people stumble from the simplicity of the gospel. It just can't be that easy. Get saved and meet God by getting on your knees and ask Jesus into your heart. And I look at a lot of the preachers today and their congregations, and what we're looking at is a sea of faceless men, spineless jellyfish. Their preachers are not preaching the whole Bible because they don't want to become controversial. They're afraid they're going to lose their tithes and offerings because we don't want to preach about Mr. Joe Blow over there because he's an alcoholic. You don't dare speak about him being an alcoholic because he's a big tither. and we don't want to rock the boat and be controversial. We just want everybody to be kissy-kissy, a sugar-coated gospel where everybody loves everybody regardless of whether you're keeping the commandments or not. And oh, and if the law says, if the government says it's okay for a man to marry a man, then that's moral, regardless whether the Bible says they go to hell for that or not. And people don't want to hear that. People don't want their consciences to trouble them at night. They want to be told, you're okay, God loves you. God loves you unconditionally. You can break his commandments, even though Jesus said, if a man says he loves me and keeps not my commandments, the same man is a liar, and no liar shall enter the kingdom of heaven. So it's by the Spirit of the Lord, folks. You got to, and it's a controversy. You got to be a man to serve the Lord. You can't just you can't be a wimp and serve God. It takes a real man, just a real woman to serve the Lord these days. People say, well, you're weak, you need a crutch. Uh-uh. You're the weakling. Get out of the bottle. Get off your drugs. Stop entertaining yourself down the wrong road, you know? Stop being scared in your work and get up and do something, because we're going to be judged by what we do or don't do with the gospel. That's all of this, you know? That's everybody. And
you know,
the government, needs to go back to the what the law books are really supposed to be about, upholding our freedoms, not trying to take our freedoms off the law books and giving the government more and more and more power to govern the people and control the people. But they're supposed to be like the Founding Fathers. I love the Founding Fathers. They were Christians. The Constitution, the amendments, that's came from gospel, Christian gospel doctrine, you know? And and they've moved and removed themselves far away from that. Now it's about money and about going in and lobbying for us because we believe this, we're going to finance you, so go in there and lobby for us. That's what it's become instead of really doing what's right.
Yeah, and I have to, I think there's one article that I printed on in my website on July 15th, 2009 that explains it quite well. And the headline is Obama Respects Vatican Social Justice. And I tried to interpret that, and I said he respects the poison cup and the bloody dagger just like his Luciferian master, Pope Joe. And that's the real problem here, is that we've been led down the wrong road by these people. We have our government hugging up with the Vatican. We have our government telling us how wonderful they are, when in fact, if you look at their bloody history, you'll see that they've been responsible for more genocide and murder and crime than any other organization in the world. So how can this man say he respects this social justice? Just your comments in a minute about that, because that brings it all together here, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Well, it's like the Bible says, a wolf in sheep's clothing. It'll come out. The devil doesn't come with his horns and his pitchfork and his tail and say, here I am to deceive you, to take you to hell. Nobody's going to listen to him. He's got to come out like Snow White. He's got to come out clean looking. He's got to have the robes, the appearance, the resounding music and their cathedrals and the stained glass windows and theater and blah, blah, blah. But meanwhile, let's open the Bibles. Let's look at the doctrine of the Bible, not what these theologians, throw that theological seminary out the window and pick up the Bible. And as I was saying earlier, go to our website and check out what Tony's written in the Gospel Tracts, and you'll see all the references to the Bible scriptures that he backs up literature with. And you'll know he's not the man who's given the news.
Don, we're all out of time. We'll have you on again. Thank you. Good point.
Thank you for having me.